For those of you that haven't been here, for the last 3 weeks we've been studying Job. You may be familiar with it or not, but I have to tell you something. I don't like the ending. I've decided I want to rewrite it. What do you think about that? You know, I want an explanation for his predicament. You know, I don't like it, period, that God lets bad things happen to good people. You know, I want God to give me a really good reason for why Job has to suffer like he does. You know, but at the end, nada, right? Not one explanation for this whirlwind that came in and took his children and his cattle and all his herd and his land and even bad health, you know? You know, I got to thinking about it, though, but we are a lot like Job in the fact that we all want this good life, don't we? We want to be born into this perfect family, these perfect parents that make no mistakes. Sorry, Mark, didn't work out for you. That's my son. We want to have this great childhood. Nothing goes wrong, right? This great college experience or good education. We want this fulfilling life, the love of others, perfect marriage, right? And at the end, we just want to have this perfect sunset to ride off into. Doesn't that sound good? Sure. That's what I want God to give us, right? We want that first paragraph of what Job described. He said, "And this man was blameless, or woman, upright, righteous, without suffering, and had plenty of everything." But then I figured it out. Somewhere along the line, life comes in and collides with reality. So from my experience, after thinking about this, I think there's two options of how we might respond when we have what I call a Job experience. Has anybody here ever had a Job experience? Yeah. I know it only happens to a few people, right? Option number one, that's to sit there and keep pulling and dragging on the door that's closed, right? Trying to go back to a way that where things were exactly how you wanted them. You know, there isn't much hope in that because that door isn't going to open again. And the more you concentrate on that, the more pain that you're going to experience. You know, how often have you heard people say something like this? This isn't fair. This can't be true. Let's just go back to the good old days. I'm not sure the good old days ever existed, but let's go back to the good old days. It's almost like if we refuse to accept the truth about what's happened, it'll just go back to being normal, right? Have you ever been there? Responded that way, you know? And I know from my own experience that when you try to live that way, it's just exhausting. The tears are ever flowing. They don't seem to stop, right? Refusing to accept, you know, that you're fired for something you didn't know, or your best friend has gone and betrayed you behind your back, or your spouse has left you, you know, it won't change the situation. It just adds to the pain, you know? And so I'm suggesting that at some point you have to accept where you are and what's going on in your life and begin to hope in God. I think it's a better response, and I think that's what Job did, but not in the way that I think we're accustomed to that. Now, I'm not saying that you should just stop trying and just be resigned, that your life is going to be the way it is for the rest of your life. I'm not saying that at all. To accept where you are is not resignation. It doesn't mean you're resigned to it always being that way. Acceptance is understanding that sometimes things are we can influence, like maybe if we're not good with money, we might be better with a budget or give it to our spouse, who that tends to be the truth, right? That they're better than we are somebody else. Or simplifying the way we live because we're just hectic and we're running everywhere all the time. We can do that. But we can't change when there's been a death of a loved one or something bad has happened in our life, right? Or we have an incurable disease, and unfortunately that happens, you know? And so acceptance understands that, well, today, this is the way this looks. But it might not look like that next week. A good friend of mine once said, surrendering to God's will doesn't mean that I like what's happening in my life. When my daughter died, I didn't thank God. And I still don't thank God for that, but I can surrender control to God and ask God for help getting through this. Surrendering means that we surrender what we want and hand it over to God. It's knowing that the world is not how it ought to be, that the world just is. And that's how we meet it. And then there's option two. I think in many ways it's the most difficult way to choose to live, but it's what Job learned to do. He had to change his image of God. You see, Job had to move back, holding on to this image of God that he made himself. He had to move past that God was his protector over everything that he did. He had to move past that God rewarded him when he did something right, punished him when he did something wrong. He had to move past that God is this lawgiver that sets down these rules that every right and righteous religious person would follow, right? He had to get rid of all these preconceived ideas about God. And I got to thinking, you know, we all have those, don't we? If I said, do you tell me about your God, you could probably describe God totally. We live our whole lives that way, and we bring so much misery on ourselves living this way, you know? Have you ever found yourself saying something like this or heard somebody say that? If you loved me, you'd be this way? Or maybe it is, you know, why can't you be more like your brother? Or it could be this, you know, a good boss would never do that, play favorites over somebody else, right? Or what about stereotyping? I thought this, a woman should not do that. They have their own place. Or a man could never be loving and take care of a child. They're supposed to be out there supporting everybody, right? Isn't that how it works, right? And I know many, many people who spent their whole lives bemoaning the fact that their parents weren't the way that they wanted them to be. But every time we do that and we choose how we want people to be, it interferes with having a deeper relationship. Far better to accept who they are and to say, how do we build this relationship based on that instead of what I want you to be? Because I've never found that me wanting somebody to change or be somebody else has ever helped them to change. Have you? See, that's what Job had to do. Job ultimately had to decide that to get rid of all these preconceived ideas that God should do for him so he could get to the point that he was open to accept who God really is with God's mystery and awe and the fact that God is totally unknown to us. We may see bits and pieces, but we don't know. And when he did that, he was able to move from questioning whether God really existed. And don't we all have times in our lives when we think, well, based on what everything's going on in my life, I don't even know if God really exists. I mean, that's a general idea out there today, isn't it? Does God really exist? But Job was able to move to knowing God really existed, and Job was able to move to a much closer, deeper relationship with God. The same thing that happens to us when we drop those preconceived ideas and love somebody for who they are, how much that relationship grows. At some point, we all have to acknowledge that we're never going to live the life that we expected. Anybody doing what they thought they would do when they were 10 years old? Living that kind of life, you know? Because the life that most of us grow up expecting is a storybook. It's a story with a Walt Disney ending, you know? It's the dream that we have when we're young and we're innocent and we really haven't seen the world for the way that the world is, you know? It's a world where everyone lives happily ever after. But that's not life, is it? Do we live happily ever after with no problems? I don't think so. And then try as we might sometimes, we can't get back that fairy tale life. And you know why? Because it never existed in the first place. Yes, Job got angry, pulled God into court, right? And ultimately, though, Job began to heal. Job began to be transformed when he came face to face with God, the God that came to him intimately, that Job, for the first time in his life, getting rid of those preconceived ideas, could love at a deeper level, could have that hole, that void filled that's in every one of us, that we need filled by God, right? At that point, he could move past the hardships. He could move past the pain. Not that that was going to change. His children could never be replaced with the new ones, you know, or the cattle or the herd. The pain was there, but through God, he was able to move forward and fill that void in his soul. He was able to move forward so that the floodgates of God's grace could fill him. We too can move forward in our lives when we're going through hardships like this, if we are willing to move past our preconceived ideas of God, of what God does and what God's expected to do. We have to open ourselves up to that mystery and that awe that God does have plans in place for us. Plans in place for us that ultimately end up in what's good. We have to remember that God just is the great I am, not the great one that we decided God is, but just is. So what have we learned from Job in this whole series? I think we've learned this. We need to let go of God that we have created in our own minds to encounter the real God that exists. We can choose faith and acceptance in the midst of suffering, even though it won't eliminate the pain. We're still going to hurt. It won't stop the questions. We're always going to have questions. And it won't create a logical reason, which we're always looking for why we're suffering. Ultimately, we can learn that choosing faith can bring us closer and closer to a God who suffers with us, who intimately comes to us when we talk, when we pray. A God that never leaves us, no matter what's going on in our life. Reminded me of a story that one of my professors told me once. He had a 5-year-old son, and at school, I still have some of it. Remember, kids used to make ashtrays or little things out of pottery? Some of you may have those, right? And so he made this beautiful pottery thing, and they wrapped him in school. It was Christmas break, something all teachers look forward to, right? And so he's going out to the parking lot to go to his mom and dad. He's running, and you know what happens, what? You're right. He drops it and he breaks it and he falls to the ground and he is wailing and is crying. And my friend, the professor, says, and I walked up to him and I said, "It's okay, son. It doesn't matter." And that made him cry even more, right? And the mom goes over and she sits down and she says, "It does matter. Let me cry with you." And she held him, and pretty soon he quits crying. And she says, "We'll go home and we can fix it. And don't you know that they actually put together this beautiful butterfly that they made? And the artwork after the tragedy that he broke was even more beautiful than it was before." That's what God does with our suffering and pain. That's what God does.